This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We watched Christmas on the Square, and we're going to talk about it today on Good Christmas Fun. That's good. Okay.
You sound angry.
We watched Christmas on the
Christmas
Square,
fun.
And we're going to talk about it today on Good Christmas Fun.
And you can't even wrap this under the tree, but here comes Christmas for me.
Do you think you can make God laugh?
No. You're a clown if you say.
Hey.
I'm a Christian wife.
Sicario.
Everything.
White women are notoriously shifty.
Wanna get in the bathtub?
You should be upset that I had a laugh with her.
Clean up on aisle butt.
Big dick energy. Is that a new saying? Just tell me it's a good thing.
It's a very good thing.
Okay, then I'll take it.
Welcome to Good Christmas Fun. I'm Kevin T. Polar Bear, or Kevin Ski Porter.
Oh, I saw someone emailed us, and Kevin and Angel Sing, which I thought was kind of fun.
That was from, that was from Crystal. And Kevin and Nature Sing, those
Kevin
first two
I read,
Polar Bear and Ski Porter, that was from Caleb. Rocking Around the Kevin T, that's from Ryan.
Oh, that's good.
So we got options. I'll say I'm Kevin Ski Porter for today.
And as always, I am Christmas Caroline.
Ho, ho, ho. And we're here to have good Christmas fun.
That's right.
Today.
We have a little, actually, our guest name, I'm excited to dive into her Christmas name because she's got them ready.
That'll be a good 5 to 7 minutes of material, right?
That'll beef up the episode quite a bit.
Good Christian Fun is the podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture, the movies, the music, and the entertainment made for my by Christmas. It's made by Christmas.
By Christmas, for Christmas,
yes,
without any Christmas
deadline
involvement.
That's right. Get out of here, Red Cups. Red Cups should be like a slang. You know how they call the people in Star Trek red shirts when they're going to die? It's like Red Cups that no one connects with this. All right.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it's like, they're a red shirt because anyone who's wearing
the thing,
a red...
Though, oh, finish your thoughts.
No, I'm done talking forever.
Okay. If you are using a red cup, you're probably at a party, so you are going to die soon.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. A solo cup. But we usually talk about stuff made for and made by Christians. It's Christmas time, and we want a little break from this bullshit. And we want to talk about fun Christmas stuff, which, guess what? It's Christ holiday, so it's all Christian.
Yeah, anything honestly, our topic is pretty Christian, though, all
it
all
is
said and done.
Very.
So.
Fully. Yeah. Oh, she's talking before being introduced. Interesting. Uh-huh. Looks like we got a naughty little elf on our hands trying to break out of the workshop.
Someone needs to open up a little stocking stuffer full of stuff it over there.
Okay. Oh my God, Caroline, it's our first episode we're recording after our Thanksgivings, our respective Thanksgivings.
Meaningful.
I think they were both respectful, peaceful gatherings of no more than 18 to 24 from nine different households.
All tested. We did the smell test.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone was good.
Tell me what the smell test is.
It's where you try to sniff out if you're sick, and if you think you're not, then you get to hang out.
Okay. Yeah. I guess. Yeah. Sure. That works.
No, I mean, like CDC recommended. Fauci won't do the smell test because he's a fraud. Because
he's bought off by Big Touch. It's like there's the five senses that are lobbyists. There's touch, smell, taste. Hearing,
third eyes,
vision. I got a third eye. And he got bought off. What?
Anyway, we had a good. I had a good Thanksgiving. Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was so good. I made two pies, and they actually came out well.
Nice.
It came out.
Are you making
good.
Any Christmas pies?
Oh, honey, you're gonna see some Christmas pies on the wow. timeline. I got a.
Have
feeling.
You made a honey pie? Speaking of,
no, not yet.
That's pretty good.
I made coconut cream. I made freaking
wow.
sweet
you
potato
made a mango pie,
and I made the mango pie. Shout out to Rishi Hirway and his mother.
Were you upset that you and Demi both made the mango pie at the same time?
No, we did that as a tribute to Rishi.
Oh.
Wait, can I tell the story
I
for real?
It was like you both accidentally caught on the trendy pie and he posted it before you did.
No,
I was like, oh,
someone,
shit.
Oh my God, someone said this too. They're like,
should we bring in our guest for this? I want her to talk.
Well, I just want to, I want to clear this up before we get any further okay, in terms okay. of the, the miscommunication. This was based on. So Hrishikesh Hirway, who some people may know from Song Exploder or the West Wing Weekly podcast or the Song Exploder television show on Netflix now, starring yeah. Dua Lipa and frickin' R.E.M. and Michael Stipe. Mm-hmm. So his mother passed away a couple of weeks ago. And it was her homemade recipe that Samin Nasrat, who's the author behind Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat, adapted for the New York Times cooking page like a couple of years ago. And then they made it free and available for anyone that wanted to cook it in honor and in tribute to her.
Oh, so, that's so cool.
Yeah, and now when you Google mango pie, it's the first thing to come up. And I will say, and I dropped off a few today for some friends and special people in my life, and it's a banger, man. It's 10 out of 10. And
I know, I want one so bad.
It's a graham cracker crust with cardamom in it, if you can imagine. So good.
Oh, I can.
So
that's really sweet. Oh, cool. Well, thanks for telling me the story about that.
You're welcome. Do you feel bad whatever. About making light of it actually now?
I do. Yeah. No, I'll have some shame spirals later tonight. Don't worry. I'll
good. Well, it. Speaking of shame spirals, I think it's time to introduce our guest. Friends and folks. Oh, no. I've been plaited my hair again. Excuse me. She is a writer, an actress, a comedian. Give it the hell up for Angela Gerardino.
Oh no. Oh no.
Ciao. Ciao.
Ciao. Ciao.
Ciao.
Oh. Spicy meat to Balajeratana.
Should have put some jingle bells on that.
I thought about that today, Caroline, and I didn't do it.
You did?
You have all month. You have all month.
That's okay.
We have two more episodes.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. Welcome to the show. Now,
welcome back to the show. She's been
Hark
on before.
The Herald, Angela Singh.
Okay.
Or an Angela at the top of the tree.
I'd like to
any more.
No, they're all angels. So if you have a different one,
in the arms of the Angela. Speaking of saving and rescuing dogs, you know, Sarah McLachlan style.
That's what I do for a living
sure.
now. The world is shut down. Yes, guys, thank you. I'm so glad to be back on, especially for this angel-centered movie.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It's a real angel fest today.
It is.
Yeah. Angel.
Do you believe in angels?
That's so funny because I have always believed in them.
Really? Oh, my gosh.
Why?
Oh, that's so great.
I don't know. I think it's more theatrical than spiritual.
What does that mean? Oh, I didn't tell you about this, Caroline. Angela's a fan of AIA, Angels in America.
Oh, nice.
She was out of town when we did those Eppies, and so we couldn't get her on for that.
I'm a huge fan. Huge fan.
She has all the monologues memorized that Harper does about pill popping. And
I did them when I was 18.
Oh my God, you'd be a great Harper.
How about Angela, real quick? We do the monologues we've memorized.
Oh, no.
Simultaneously.
Oh, will Kevin get another opportunity
you do
to do his big gay monologue?
Hey. Man, I guess I do look like Ben Platt today. Hair down, hair going down.
I'm going to Platt attack tonight.
Ben Splat a little later.
You've been Splat.
Yeah, I'm his gross alter ego. I'm a nasty little bitch boy. I've been Splat. I'm going to come over everything.
Oh, no.
Oh,
so
my
messy.
God.
Okay, you guys go. Ready? 3, 2,
no,
1.
No, I'm not doing it.
I have sex with men. Okay. All right, it's fair. It's fair.
Oh, man. That was
sorry,
nice.
That was dirty.
You would have a great voice for Harper. for Harper Pat. Oh,
I wish you guys could have seen me, like, as an 18-year-old, taking it very seriously, freshman college, memorizing all the words, all the pills, Googling them.
Adorable. Being like,
yeah.
Well, and this is something I think that probably feeds into it as well, is that Angela's also, much like myself, a bit of a wing nut, loves the West Wing. And so Mary Louise Parker occupies a very special place.
Whoever Josh loves, we love.
Yes. And it should have been Amy.
You guys will like this, but Angela, I think you'd be better than Mary Louise Parker.
Literally, you can't say that and it not affect me. And it's very much affecting me. And I know you mean it as a joke. I know you mean it as a joke.
No, I'm not. I don't mean it as a joke. I'm not joking.
I've never seen Weeds, though, but I really have to watch Weeds.
And I like her a lot, but I feel like you would bring a little bit more vitality to the role, and I would like to see that.
Vitality?
Vitality.
Wow.
You have it. You have it. You have the voice. And I feel like, and also now you, as opposed to your 18-year-old self, you might actually have a little bit of that worldly wisdom, you know, that been around the Mormon block thing that you have to have.
Yes, I feel like.
You've been married to a closeted gay man by now, right?
Oh, yes, I've been around the block.
Yeah, you still are.
Oh, I mean, are you a woman in America?
Yeah, hey. The universal experience of being a woman in America.
Yeah.
Oh, gracious. Great. Well, I'm so happy you're back. We're so happy you're back, Angela.
I'm so glad especially.
Before we got on, we were kind of recounting, where did we leave off with Angela in her journey and her story? In your heart, and asking how it is. Because we had you on almost a year ago. Caroline pointed this out. Almost a year ago to the day. Your last episode came out December 4th.
Wait, really?
Yeah, December 4th.
2019. Yeah. So.
Wait, that's crazy. Because now I can bookmark like where I was spiritually a year ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could go back and listen and like hear what you were doing.
Yeah,
like
I was really rusty.
Because I can't stand it.
I was really wrestling with some stuff back then. But, you know, I'm the same old girl that was on here before a year ago. Grew up in the church, loved Jesus.
Yeah, you were a worship leader.
Oh, my God. Yes, I was a worship leader. Mm-hmm. But now, like, you know, very theatrical, very, I believe in angels. And maybe that's it.
Yeah. And that's where you've landed now, as opposed to
that's where I've landed now. I believe in Dolly Parton as an angel.
In retrospect of that year last year, do you remember, like, what are the things that you were thinking about that maybe now you're, like, a little bit further down the road on?
I think I was, like, very specific about the theology of it all, and I really wanted to like land on like, this is what I believe and this is what I don't believe. And now it's just like, it's just funny that I really wanted to be so straight and narrowed on what I wanted.
You wanted to be consistent, maybe.
Yes, that's I think that was it. And just having that conversation is ever evolving, so
well, and I think there's something that becomes a virtue in the culture sometimes where it's like, if you're consistent forever, then you are a good person. Like, that means you're a person of your word. Whereas, like,
yes,
and that so often gets translated into politics, but also religion too. It's like, if you believe the same thing that you do when you're 15 that you do when you're 35, then yes, you've stayed that, you've walked the narrow road.
I meant less like, oh, linearly, like consistent, like you've always believed the same thing, and more of like, consistent because you have like your theological like guiding principle that you have decided on and chosen, and then you build your beliefs from there or whatever.
Yeah, and it was also like the first like ever like kind of Christian culture podcast where I got to like stamp myself and like what I believe.
Yeah.
So I think there was a lot of pressure.
That's
around
scary.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. Being like, oh my God, this is something I'd say to somebody like getting coffee. Yeah. Like, I don't know how to say this like as a like printed out, like this is where I'm at.
Yes, right. And this will live forever. This will outlive us, me, you, the internet itself as a concept. Yeah. It'll be archived forever.
Well, I mean, I'm even kind of scared sometimes to like say where I'm at, you know, like literally like, well, I'm an agnostic now, or I'm this or whatever. Like, I purposely avoid it on this show because I want the latitude to like change or not have anyone know for sure.
Exactly. As a host, though, I think it's not always the responsibility to, I go back and forth on this because so much of the show is us talking, but also like it's to embolden our guests too.
Yeah.
To share their thing. So it's not.
Yeah. Like I only self-disclose if it like helps a guest feel comfortable or like to share, to like have camaraderie, you know? Yeah.
You did that a year ago, and I do remember that. I don't remember what I said about Jesus, but I do remember you guys being there for me when I was trying to figure it out.
It was actually brutal what you said, and it was we had to cut a lot of it out, unfortunately.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, but that I think that's like that's also an interesting thing that you've landed in kind of like a less rigid spot too, because I don't know, there's maybe like two paths you go where you do become either very rigid and like this is my new belief and I've read all the books about Zoroastrianism and that's me now or whatever, or
yeah,
you're like, you know, it actually is a lot more complicated than anybody ever makes it out to be.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't actually make a lot of sense to just choose like my foundational belief now, you know.
Exactly. And it's like what you said, like the idea of talking about your spiritual life should be evolving. But for some reason in the church, it's like that's just things changing sounds like not being faithful.
Yes.
And that's like scary. But like the nature of faith should be that it's growing like your body is and like you are growing and you're allowed to change. And I think last time I was very pressured to feel like, oh, this is what I'm putting out and this is what I believe. But like everything changes and it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I was actually, you know, I was talking about this just to co-op some therapy language and use it for religious discussion as people are doing a lot the last 20 years. I was talking to my therapist about conflict resolution stuff. Kind of the idea of like your words being held against you of like, well, you said this 6 months ago and you're saying this now. So you see why that doesn't make sense. And just that idea of you have to be able to like evolve and change your mind and being in a relationship with another person in that sense of love, keeping no record of wrongs in that sense and receipts and things of
it's
that
so
nature.
True. You would never be like, oh my God, Caroline, tell me about your marriage 10 years ago, or if you were even married that long. But like, and if it's not the same right now, then it's different or you're lying.
Or it's like invalid. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like you're not, you don't make any sense. You don't even know what you think. Yeah. in relationships especially, you have to give room for everybody to change.
Do you feel like you've had any significant shifts or anything notable happen in the intervening year since we've seen you and talked to you?
I think since you've seen me, the most significant is that I have understood that whatever I said a year ago is allowed to be different than what I said now. Mm-hmm.
That's good.
But nothing on that specific line. Like, I think it just I am still very spiritual and still worship in my car.
What does that mean?
Yes.
What does that mean? I think it's like a sense of hope, a sense of like there is someone to talk to in the lonely moments.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's a grand plan or that my steps are written, I don't know. I don't believe, but I do know that like there is someone there when I am lonely.
Yeah.
I think that's where I've developed to. I don't know besides that what else to say.
So like yeah, evolving to this idea of God almost foremost as companionship and comfort.
Yeah.
And that's what I said I think before, but it was like more religious, and like now without being able to step foot in a church, it's very different. It's just more personal, like it should be, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, to me it like that state reminds me a little bit more of like when you're a little kid and you're just like in imagination land and you just kind of get, but like you kind of do think that some things are like magical a little bit and that just like works for you and you can't really explain it and that kind of thing. It's like a nice spot to be in.
Do you mind if I play this, this video you sent me?
Oh my God, please play it for Caroline. Caroline has to see it. Caroline, I need your phone number. I need to send you.
The caption of this video Angela sent me like a month ago is, "Hi, I'm reading for the part of Carl Lentz."
Yeah. No, I'm a sports agent. Yeah. My name is Rain.
Rain.
That's it. No hot takes. I just wanted to live the character.
Angela, you know I enjoyed it because you know I've
sport agent. Yeah, it's like an agent for actors, but for sports. So I get sports players auditions if they want to do like acting jobs or whatever.
Oh my God.
I'm not gonna tell you my last name because I don't want you to Google me. And that's genuine.
And that's a relationship.
Middle East.
Middle East.
I'm so glad you did that because I really it really does occupy my mind quite a bit. Like, how did that conversation go? How did he do this for 5 months?
So this
and
is,
she never looked him up. Like, all of these things. I can't stop thinking about it.
This is in reference to the infidelity of former pastor at Hillsong, New York City, Carl Lentz, who admitted to cheating on his wife, and then the woman
former
he was
Bieber handler also, I think you have to
oh, he
mention.
Was handling. I don't know if you saw those shirtless pics of both of them walking down the boulevard, but yeah,
just two boys.
There were many handles and gutters of a certain nature as well on his body. but also, the woman he was cheating on his wife with came out and revealed more details, some of which included, he said he was a sports agent, he said not to Google him, and
amazing. And he only told her his first name.
Right.
He said, pretty people are from the Middle East.
The most beautiful women are Middle East.
And she said he acted like a virgin, which listen, it's okay to be a virgin, but it is hilarious when someone says that about you and you've had an affair about that with them.
Acting
I thought
like
that was cool. Yeah, so thank you for personifying that for a second.
Oh,
for me.
I wish you could have seen Kevin's.
No, I sent it to her. I sent it to her.
Okay, good. Because
Kevin's, that's right.
Kevin's is much better than mine. It's more lived in. It's like really like
more
Kevin,
lived in. He can access the Lentz mindset.
Yeah,
a
for
bit
some
more
reason, I'm in touch somehow with what male manipulation could be in a way that Angela just isn't.
Weird.
I said lived in, and I wanted to take it back the second I said it.
You know, that he feels it.
But this is a little wild too. By the way, Angela, you could be a front-facing camera comedy queen on Twitter if you wanted to, but you've opted
out. Oh my god,
out.
That's so sweet. Oh my god, whoa! Because when you said front-facing comedy queen, I went, "Oh, does Kevin not think though that's like a legit way to?"
No. Oh, some of my favorites.
Right. He is a little Me bit too. Disparaging, but then I realized, yeah, that you
there's some great
it.
Queens working. Meg Stalter, Caleb, I think, is a front-facing camera comedy queen. Who's
there's
one
so
of the
many.
Funniest.
There's so many.
Carrie great. O'Donnell, Martin Hurley. There, yeah, you could be amongst them.
Oh, yes. Oh, no, I appreciate that. It's like a whole new sport that was invented, I feel like.
Lisa Gilroy, that's an FFCCQ for you. Her freaking Austin Powers monologue that was going around. Hilarious.
It was incredible. Yes. Incredible.
Nice. And did we have something to do with that bump? I'd like to think so. Also, I want to read a really intense text message I got while we were recording this episode. Kind of out of nowhere. Which is, do you believe the Bible is the word of God?
Oh,
I am obsessed with that text message. I wish I got those text messages.
Oh, man, that reminds me of when Kevin, do you remember when our Bible study way back when had a couple of boys from Utah show up, if you remember, mm-hmm. a couple of Ben Platts?
Okay.
Do you mean
okay,
like Mormons?
Okay.
Do you mean
I don't
like
love this.
Yes.
couple of Ben Platts.
I think
couple
they saw
platypuses.
Kevin and they were like, hey,
he's Ben Platt.
Wait, are the female fans of Ben Platt called platypussies?
They are now.
That's a real question.
That's a dwindling population in both
yeah.
in
knocking
both animal kingdoms.
On the window, waiting for I don't.
Oh, but one time we were on the sidewalk and they just like saw me and I was like, oh no, and they were like, what do you think about the Book of Mormon? And it has that same energy, you know, it's like, it's just an opener. It's not an honest question. It's not an open question. It is a
well, yes. let me
harpoon.
Actually, well, let me give some context because this isn't okay. this isn't with respect and anonymity, but the context
yeah,
is
we
this
need
is
the context.
Read it out loud.
Was it you up? Do you believe the word of God?
Yes, that's kind of our code for I'm ready to go. Get over here.
Oh my gosh.
Do you believe? And I say, yes, I believe. And that's our version of the Nexium question mark RM, ready master. Yes.
Oh, amazing. Amazing.
No, this is someone this is a friend of mine I've known for years who is going through their own deconstruction stuff as well. So I think it is an earnest, like, I don't know, what do you think?
What
but
do
it
you
is,
think?
Oh, the okay. wording is just so funny.
like, you are already in a conversation.
We have been
person.
Talking today already, and this
okay,
is a
okay,
new
okay.
item. Yes.
I thought it came.
I assumed, I
Me
judged.
Too.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to this person, you know, and I wish
it's
you well
okay.
in your journey.
They'll never listen to this, or
You know. You've said that before, and then that ends up not being true.
Yeah, there's been some podcast stuff that
you've been some surprises.
Yeah, there's been a few surprises.
I love that.
Oh but my God. Yeah, I know. I guess I shouldn't assume anything. I guess I should assume like my grandfather's going to listen to this and speak accordingly.
He's a curious man.
Well, I'm glad you're in a good spot with it, Angela. Do you believe the word of God is the, what's the question? Do you believe the Bible is the word of God?
I want to know what you're going to say. That's what I'm going to say. That's all I'll say.
My response to this person is going to be...
a link to GCF.
I'd text it, but I'd rather you listen to my answer. Here's episodes 1 through
start with the first 500 hours.
Yeah. Hey, shout out to all the Spotify rap charts. People tagging us in those.
Oh my gosh. Yes, that was really nice.
We only reposted one of you, I think, on our Instagram.
On the account. And on my own, I posted 6 because that's what I care about.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Getting that bumpy. But
yeah.
Yeah. My response to her, Angela, will be, I'm not sure. I don't. The question is always, what do you mean by word of God? Before I can even answer that,
yeah,
you know what
let's
I mean.
Establish the stasis. Let's
right. That's an OG.
Establish. When you,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I learned that technique from my mentor Ben Shapiro.
Platypussy hive.
Platypussy hive.
We're platypussies.
The red.
She made like a squish sound.
Hi, puppy. God. Now, apparently, gross. He has a live at Radio City Music Hall special that I've not watched, but I've recreated.
You're like
line
looking
for
in
line.
A damn mirror the whole time.
I'm like, me every morning.
Oh, I'm doing it. No, if you watch it, he is like, oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to the plat hive out there, all the platypuses
out
there.
I truly don't have anything against him.
So I used to be a part of it, I feel like, for like a second.
Well, you're probably more of a part of the. Suicide fraud musical that everyone loved. What's it called?
Dear Evan Hansen.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I thought it was my favorite musical. I saw him live and I was changed forever.
At the Amundsen?
No. I saw him on Broadway. Oh. I saw him on Broadway.
Oh, yeah. And he's all like hunched over and shit, right?
Yeah.
Well, good for him. Yeah. Good for him. Good for me, too, I guess. Hey, what if, Caroline, what if I start a Blake Rain-esque career? And I call myself Ben Splat, and it's just that is what it is.
Just like go to karaoke bars doing like Evan Hansen songs.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Does anybody have a map? Anybody having to know how to have it? Well, that's not even him, is it?
I've never seen it. Or to start a new TikTok account where you keep insisting that you are him. And just see where that goes, because I'm like,
or just
far.
Say it's you're his older brother.
Yeah,
and you're like his older redhead, cool. Old.
I'm his older brother, Ben Splat. Same first name, different last name, but we same, are related.
Yeah, but we are related.
We're in the same first name family.
Come on, Christmas. He's one of those like in the singing. Yeah. Angela knows. It's like Anthony Rapp turned to a million. Yeah, it's terrific.
I didn't even put together an Anthony Rapp, Ben Platt like correlation.
Oh, yeah.
But they are writing each other's success in a weird way, if you think about it.
Well, I mean, we've talked about that before, but Anthony Rapp was like, that became the voice of musical theater for like 25 years.
Yeah.
And now it's Rippity Rap, yeah. You know, it's all
that
stuff.
Is that it?
Wait, Angela, what were you going to say about, do you believe if the Bible is the word of God as a question?
Oh, no. All I was going to say was I wanted to know your answer. I do believe it's the word of God. I think.
Oh,
I don't know.
I thought you were going to say I think something else. And then you're like.
Oh, no. I think it's the word of God.
You're saying a Yoda. Yeah, amazing. A Yoda.
Yeah, I think. I don't know. What is the word? That's my follow-up question. What is the word of
infallible
God?
Infallible, you know what I mean? Word of God.
I know. We can do a Lennon Parham and Veep from that. Well, what is a word? Let's talk about that. On that part. I don't know. So that means like God, I don't know. I feel like some people would say the word of God is it's God speaking directly to humanity. So saying the Bible is the word of God means this is, you know, Bruce Springsteen put out an album called Letter to You. This is his letter to us. You know,
ooh.
Maybe people would
say
that.
I guess I'm like wondering, does this person like want to know, like, is this literally what God's saying? Literally,
right.
Or is this like poetically or what?
Yeah, because poetically everything's a word. Yeah, I'm the word of God. Whatever. Like, sure.
Ben Platt's the word of God. Dear Evan Hansen.
That's a good one, though. It's like, I feel like it's the it's the big first question in like a deconstruction, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I feel like evangelical Christianity, if I may say, has idolized the Bible so hardcore mm-hmm. that questioning the Bible is dismantling the entire religion, which is right. interesting.
It's a house of cards.
Yeah. And we should be able to question it if everything's built on it. We yeah. should be able to talk about
totally.
It.
Totally.
Caroline, yeah, do you have anyone in your life that like comes to you often for sort of deconstruction-esque questions or like, I don't know, I'm kind of getting out of this. Like that kind of leans on you for that?
No.
Do you have anyone
no,
like that, Angela?
But I did get a cousin like out of left field one day ask me something I thought was kind of a leading question of like, I
ooh,
don't know.
What
like
was
a,
it?
I don't even remember what it was. I'll have to look it up. But it was, it was like, what do you think of this person, like blank person? And I was like, oh, I don't know. Why are you asking me? And they're like, well, I've been thinking of this book. I think you'd really like it. And as the conversation went on, I realized it was more along the lines of like, I'm maybe the most like liberal Christian this cousin knows and wanted yeah. to like tell me about her like discovery that she found so we could like talk about it together. Less like, hey, I'm worried about your journey with faith. Which, so that was kind of cool.
Okay.
But anyway, so, that's the closest I've gotten to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's surprising to me that more people haven't reached out and said like, Caroline, we've heard you on the podcast.
I was just about to say, like,
maybe
I feel
that's
like
the
you...
issue. Like, Caroline, we've heard you on the podcast.
Oh, I see.
So
that's
we will
a, that's
not
a barrier
be
to
coming
connection.
To you for the altar of wisdom.
Because if I heard you guys, if I heard this podcast when I was 16, my mind would be blown and I would DM you, Caroline.
Oh,
not
nice.
Kevin, because he's a man and I would be scared.
Well, yeah, and it would be inappropriate.
And yeah, by the way, all the two of us, who's more scary? Out of, you've listened to 159 episodes. Who seems more scary and...
Like emotionally or
I don't think I'm scary at all.
I don't know.
I can't believe you don't get
I was looking for a sock monkey in my background before.
Not by my friends, I guess not. I think everyone is kind of like already figuring out their own thing, you know? This is what I was thinking of, and that was why my face was blank just now. Was Angela, I feel like talking about the angels thing, we will talk about that more in the second half of the show. But I feel like that's gonna be a really rich topic because I think it's the theological basis of the movie, and if it's something you relate to as well, right. like it's going to be great. So I'm trying to get into it more.
I love that you brought that up because that's the only reason why I said it because yes. The movie did make me remember that like growing up, like when I was really involved with the church, the idea of angels was so exciting, but
yes.
never preached upon, never talked about. And I said it already, but like it was very theatrical and like very
yes.
like, oh my God, angels could be around you. And yeah. I'm not kidding and I'm not trying to be funny. I'm actually just being honest. Watching this movie 2 hours ago, I did actually think that maybe some of the people I come in contact with are angels.
Yes. Oh, I mean, Kevin, are we diving in?
Yeah. Well, okay. I mean, that's kind of our cue. Let's take a quick break.
No, we are.
No, it's good. No, we just got to take a quick, teeny, tiny little break. Thanks again, Angela,
ooh,
for sharing your stuff.
Sexy little ad, and then we'll get right back into it.
Bin Splat sponsored Breaky
Kiwi Co.
No, don't give them any free press if they're not advertising this week. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back with more good Christian fun. Good Christmas fun. Damn it. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now.
Mm.
And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The new movie coming out.
I didn't get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that
right.
can kind of propel me
to
into
feel
like
feel as incredible to, as you could feel.
To exercise more, mm-hmm. to be working out like 3 hours a day.
Exactly.
Working 9 hours a day on top of that, and then
good
going
brain.
Going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry. There's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/goodchristianfun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/goodchristianfun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
I agree.
The
first month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's betterhelp.com/goodchristianfun.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Welcome back to Good Christmas Fun. It's time to dive into the topic. Come on, let's go. Oh boy, Christmas on the Square, a movie that came out a month ago, as of recording this, November 2020, shot, I believe, in summer 2019 in Atlanta, Georgia,
wow.
Which is why there are crowds, people touching each other, having little smoochies sometimes. Even though there was a part of me that was like, was Dolly fully CGI'd into this movie because she didn't want to get COVID?
That potentially, that could be true.
But there were CGI Dolly moments, but it is not COVID related. Wait, well, we didn't even talk about Christmas with Angela before we get into the movie. Are there like Christmas music, Christmas traditions, Christmas thoughts and feelings you want to share just generally before we get into Christmas on the Square?
Oh, that's yes. So sweet. I mean, it's crazy. Christmas and COVID as a Christian, Christmas, COVID Christian. It's like, I'm like, how am I going to do Christmas Eve without going to a Christmas Eve service?
Yeah, it's a real
come
whammy.
On. But no, I'm... in my house, we listen to Amy Grant, Christmas.
To you, that's the sound of Christmas.
Mm-hmm. That's the sound of Christmas? Yes. Those are my Christmas traditions. I love Christmas movies. Hence, this was a delight. This was an absolute, mm-hmm. an absolute delight. I also am one of those people, like I'm very heart-driven, not head-driven, where during the holidays, I am very spiritual more than other times. Mm-hmm.
And that might how does that manifest for you?
A movie as such today could speak to me more than one would usually. I'm like, maybe every year at Christmas, we're supposed to really like realize where the angels are. I do know that's crazy, but also like, I don't know. There is something about Christmas magic that is just the Holy Spirit.
People are a little more vulnerable, right? Like they're a little more more porous. Like they're a little bit more willing to hear it. Like you finished the year, you're tired.
It does feel like, I mean, maybe not this year, but it does feel like, I'm about to say something stupid. Do people actually feel more open to love around Christmas time? Like romantically?
Yeah.
Or like, a quick handy or, you know.
What I was going to say about a quick handy, speaking of quick handies, is like, do I feel more spiritual or am I told to feel more spiritual? Are we told to feel more like couple-y, I want to give a quick handy?
Yes.
Or are we just feeling it actually?
The height of romance.
Yes. It could be both, you know? It doesn't have to be either or.
I just feel like I'm thinking back to the last like 10 years of Christmases. I'm like, around Christmas time, sometimes there's an energy or an entanglement where it's like, here comes Christmas for me, where it's like, oh, this would this happen otherwise? Caroline's freaking face.
What's going on? I'm like, what happened?
Nothing happened. I mean, it depends, but I don't know. Like, it just feels, I don't know. This is something, maybe this is an off-mic discussion.
You're saying like people are feeling a little bit more randy. They're a little bit more like, let's do
randy?
It. It's Christmas.
Yeah.
It's Christmas. I'm being really random.
Santa Claus comes down the chimney and says, ho, ho, do I make you randy, baby? That is.
Do you want me to say wet and horny during Christmas time? Is that better?
Yeah, I do. Hell yeah.
No, you're fuckable. You're right. I don't think we actually feel that way once a year. I think we're just feeling that way because of the decoration.
Well, it's like cuffing season, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is. We're just being told that.
We're just talking about cuffing season. Yeah.
That's all we're doing, yeah.
Hey, and I'll tell you what. In Los Angeles, we only have one season pretty much all year round with this weather.
Awards?
What's that?
Award season?
Yeah, award season is what I was going to say.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
The stars are out.
The stars are out?
Well, I don't know if you have Christmas movie traditions, Caroline. I don't. It sounds like Angela does. I was talking to a friend of mine. I said, like, do you usually have, like, I was just making conversation. I was like, are there, like, movies you usually watch? And she said, yeah, I always watch the original Grinch, The Family Stone, The Holiday, Home Alone, and Christmas Story. I watch those every year for Christmas, which is a lot.
Wait, hold on. Family Stone? Yeah. They watch every
Family
year?
Family Stone.
I don't know. Family Stone is becoming established as a classic, and I watched it, I think, a year ago, and I was like, I don't know.
This is something so perfect for this podcast, and I'll never be able to say it anywhere else.
Oh,
I was in a Bible study with the girl that's like the younger girl in Family Stone. And no. I was so jealous
Little
of her.
Stony. You
were Savannah or something is her name.
Okay.
Family and Stone. My mom loved her so much more than me.
Rachel McAdams?
No. I was in a Bible study.
The little girl, Rachel McAdams.
That would be newsworthy.
Yeah.
Who is she?
I think the only me and my brother are obsessed with Christmas with the Cranks. We watch it every year, ironically, kind of. That's the only one we have.
I think like it's too soon. Like with movies, a rewatch, I need like three or 4 years actually. I think between a rewatch, unless I like really love that movie.
Interesting.
Because it's too stale otherwise, even with Christmas movies. Although maybe I'm starting a new tradition because I am very excited to watch Klaus again this year, which is going to be my lift up at the end of the episode.
I got invited to watch Klaus in a friend's backyard last night, and I had to say, no, I have plans. And it was watching Christmas on the Square.
Oh, I've got a date with a certain country legend.
Sorry, a little angel said I couldn't come.
my little CGI cloud.
Oh my god! Well,
but you know what? There is something to be said about Christmas movies only feeling fun when they're older.
Well, with age, I know it is. Well, I guess it's like any Christmas standard, like a song, where it's very tough. There's really no Christmas classics after Mariah Carey in the canon. That's the last one. So similarly with Christmas movies, it's like Love Actually, Elf definitely. And then after that,
Elf
like,
now.
And Hallmark's trying to get the mark, but like, and what was it? Last Christmas last year? Did you see that, Caroline? Amelia no. Clark? And
I wonder if Happiest Season will become anybody's like
go-to. I was just about to say.
Know? I haven't seen it yet. It's on my list, but mm-hmm. I think that might be, sounds like a cozy good one.
Yeah, maybe. But this movie, Christmas on the Square,
will surely not make the canon.
I don't know, Caroline, because after this, I was like,
I don't know.
Is this going to be my new Christmas tradition as far as watching goes?
Kevin's hookup movie, I guess.
No. Wait, what do you think my hookup movie is?
This is perfect for some over the sweater stuff.
Wait, what do you... Hey! Well, I'll just say, I just want to see that the little reindeer does. Jesus.
Oh my God.
Over the sweater stuff. I'd be mortified.
Hey, do you want to come over? Like, I watch this movie, like, ironically, every year.
It's actually really funny.
It's actually really funny. We can laugh at old people.
Are you
people cold?
Come in here.
Christmas.
No, there's a lot of charm to this film. Shall we get into it?
Yeah, I want to read a synopsis. I couldn't find a good one, so I wrote one instead.
And you wrote it, Kevin? Yes.
Oh, I'm excited.
This is a movie. It's directed by famed choreographer, director,
this is a Letterboxd
actress,
live
Debbie
coming
Allen.
Coming at you from GCF right now. I'm excited. No, Debbie, I make it.
Debbie Allen's a legend.
Felicia. Yeah, okay. Legend. You guys, I was I meant to research Debbie Allen. I did not. But I was going to ask you too if you could tell me, because I know she's important, but I just don't know
she's
like,
huge.
Who she is. Yes.
So Debbie Allen's a famous, she's like in her 70s now, and she is a famous choreographer, actress. She was on the TV show Fame back in the 80s. She is sort of a part of the Hollywood family, sister to Felicia Rashad, won a bunch of Golden Globes, won a bunch of Emmys, and has directed a bunch and has acted a bunch too. And she's been on Grey's Anatomy since 2011.
I was just about to say, she's a Grey's Anatomy, like it's like a perfect, like a perfect musical theater woman that like grew up like doing so much dance that then pivoted and like found a perfect like Grey's Anatomy. It's just like it. Then that's what's so funny about this movie. It's like Grey's Anatomy meets dance, baby.
Meets So You Think You Can Dance. Yes. Because also Janine Mason from So You Think You Can, I mean, more famously from Bunheads, obviously, but also from So You Think You Can
Not
Dance.
More famously. Bunheads. Oh my God. I was so excited. Janine Mason also briefly went to UCLA at the same time I did. And one time I saw her on campus and I was starstruck.
Wait, is this the girl who's the assistant? Who's the angel?
She's a little angel. Yeah.
The angel.
Because she's also in Grey's Anatomy, and must have been like a Debbie Allen, hey, come do this movie with me.
Wow.
I'll give you a song
totally
with
it.
Dolly. Yeah. The whole time I was like,
Janine, I watched her season of So You Think You Can Dance with my mom, and she was incredible. She's amazing, and she didn't get enough dance in this movie, and that's my one big criticism, I'd say.
She was dancing the whole time.
But not, she should have had like a big, you know, I don't
solo
know,
number,
contemporary, lyrical, slow.
I mean, there's a
in the square.
There's a Bunheads tribute where Dolly Parton becomes the Kelly Bishop character and is like ordering her around in the ballet studio.
Yeah,
I mean,
that was cute, and then, clearly I think that was supposed to be her like dance number, but for me, it wasn't enough. If you could really see what this girl could do, you would say her shine was dimmed.
Okay, here's the synopsis of the movie, just for an overview, by me. How does a small town keep capitalism from colonizing their folksy way of life on Christmas Eve? Well, it looks like they'll have to use the power of song. Time together round for Christmas on the Square, new holiday classic with a pro-life twist, starring Dolly Parton as a hobo angel with the power to impregnate infertile women, and Christine Baranski as an urban developer Queen Grinch with a stare so cold it's hot enough to make you nutmeg. That is,
oh my God,
what?
Oh, I really feel like you should be hired by a local newspaper to be their film reviewer. Like, couldn't you read that in like the Kentucky Herald?
I think I would get banned from recaps. Kentucky.
Yeah, you'd have to clean it up a little bit.
Wow.
No, that's true. This is a, I would call this movie Landlord Propaganda first, Song and Dance second. And I still had a good time. And that speaks to the level of entertainment that they brought, I think.
When this movie came out, when the poster came out, I remember seeing the poster on Dolly Parton's Instagram because I follow Dolly Parton, of course, and because I need the vaccine information. And well, yeah.
What if she's like doing Fauci-esque updates every day, like, okay, so they're in clinical trial
this
stage
is why
four.
The quarantine period has gone to 10 days versus 14. It's
like if, and they're like, oh, if you want to be updated on the virus, you need to follow Dolly Parton on
you
Instagram.
You
and
got
I was like, quick follow. But I did see like this beautiful poster with like so many different characters. And when you really scroll in, you see Christine with an eviction notice. And I remember being like, what a prop to heavily
be featured
in the poster.
Yeah, they really gave it away.
And it's true. I mean, it really shows. This is about landlord life.
Power.
It's about landlords. It's about... I would also call this movie Angels in Kansas, a gay fantasia on holiday themes, perhaps.
Yeah.
Because there is so much, like, truly, as someone who's, unfortunately, hopefully, I'm not too appropriative of the culture, but it's like, there's like a lot of gay bait in a good way in this movie. Because I feel like Baranski and Dolly Parton are both queer icons for different reasons.
But, and Debbie Allen, to be.
And Debbie Allen, yes. So you have like two... huge stars with their, I mean, Dolly's not even like a star. It's like I'm talking about God or a saint right now. It's like Dolly Parton, like, I don't even know
she
how
like
to conceive it.
Level,
but Christine
like,
Baranski.
Know, celebrity Dolly Parton.
Right. But Chicago, Mamma Mia, freaking all, you know, Good Wife, Good Fight, all that stuff.
Grinch.
Yeah, and Grinch. I know.
I thought about her in The Grinch.
She got to reverse Grinch in this one. Yeah. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. What an icon! Two iconic Christmas movies for me. Christmas in the Square.
Although at the same, there's such a. But I feel like because all the music in this movie is written by Dolly herself.
Yeah.
As well.
And you know it.
And I feel like this so epitomizes almost like the elusiveness of some of her thematics and some of her messaging too, where she is, you know, as Jed Abumrad went over in his podcast, Dolly Parton's America, so effectively last year, she is like the last person that everybody agrees on, basically everybody likes. But the reason for it is because of like catering to everything, because so much of this is like Hallmark family, like Christmas core, like your pastor dad would put this on, say like they should make more movies like this. And at the same time, using kind of like this queer coded imagery and casting and director at the same time, and even having like the hairstylist in the salon where I'm like, is this so niche or not niche? Is this so like tokenized? It's offensive. But it just exists. And I was watching an interview that Baranski and Dolly Parton did over Zoom, which is truly like staring into the abyss in a way where it's
sad.
Like these two icons.
Sad.
But there was this gay interviewer that was talking to them and he's like, this meant so much to me. And like, I feel like this embodies so much of like the queer community spirit. And it was so fun to watch him just like stay on message of like, Baranski's like, well, I wasn't really thinking of that when we were making the movie. But yes,
oh my God.
It is very jolly.
But and isn't there a couple in the town that's heavily featured that's like, it's like a gay couple in the town?
The couple that works at the hair salon. Yeah,
yes.
They're like openly gay.
Yeah. And they're like at the town meeting and they're talking all the time, but they don't have names in the movie.
Right.
Or,
I mean, they have names, but like I noticed
gotta
that.
Make room for Carl. I would say also the other thing in watching this, like speaking of the casting and everything, is like, it's a lot of older people on this cast. Like, it is an old cast. And I enjoyed that.
Honey,
I thought it was
you
cool.
know
but
I loved it.
To me, that, like, oh, Kevin was creaming all day long watching this. But it was, like, that also catered to me to that kind of, like, musical theater-y, maybe queer culture, too, of, like, these people, like, maybe mainstream, a lot of people don't know who they are. But anyone who does know knows that they're an icon. And you're going to be so excited to see them on this thing. But, like, I had to look up a lot of who these people
were. Yeah, well, I think most people know Tree Williams as Everwood Dad rather than, like, he was doing Broadway stuff in the 80s and 90s.
Wait, is this Chris?
He was in Hair in the 70s.
Is this the pastor?
This is, no, not the Carl, pastor. This is who's the pastor? Lamp store man.
The keeper of memories.
Oh, lamp store.
Yes.
He sells lamps and it's a business and he sells
and he lights those lamps,
he is
baby.
In business. Yeah.
Yeah, but even Josh Segarra, who plays the pastor Christian, he plays Pastor Christian.
That was hilarious.
Did you guys know he was her son?
No. Well, spoilers for Christmas on the Square, I guess.
Oh, sorry.
We didn't even know she was pregnant, you know, until like the last 5 minutes of this film.
Before we get too much in the nitty gritty, I want to zoom out and just talk a little bit about my experience watching this, which, you know, my friend that I'm quarantining with was out of town, so sadly we couldn't watch it together, and I didn't have anyone to watch it over Zoom. I did watch it alone. So out loud alone, no less than 12 times, I said, and I'm not exaggerating this for the podcast, I did say, this fucking rules. Because this movie...
I knew it.
Rules! It is exactly what I want. It was... so delightful. And it's there is one of the greatest film writers working now is a guy named Wesley Morse over at the New York Times, who he himself is queer as well. And he had this great write-up of it where he said it's campy in the way that's like, it's not bad in the way that you don't want. It's bad in the way that you want. It's like drunk on itself and it knows mm-hmm. exactly what it is. And it knows exactly like how to deliver those things for you. Actually,
yeah, I love that.
Yeah. I'll say this. It's the quote is, it's bad. It's the sort of bad that knows what it is. Campy rather than camp. Campy is camp with a diploma and a martini. And Christmas on the Square is a drunk. Parton did the music. Debbie Allen did the bodies, the aliasms and the breakdances and swiveling in the pews. She's also the director. And for the first 40 minutes, she, Parton, and the screenwriter, Maria Schlatter, keep it all humming with the campy swish you need for a romantic musical family tragedy holiday comedy. It's fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-land. Isn't that great? Yeah. I mean, yeah. And that was my experience watching it. I was... purely delight. And every time someone just went, yeah, and I guess that's why, you know, the evictions are hard. The evictions are hard.
Hard. Yeah. And it was based on a play, right?
Yes, I saw that.
But like, what? Is this play famous?
Did a church do it or something?
Yeah, I know. It kind of was a feeling of like, did your friend write the play?
Like Dolly wrote this for a big mega church in Dallas.
Yes.
And they put it up and now they have a Netflix deal.
I gotta know, but
I have
that
no
seemed,
idea.
Like, sort of relevant.
I honestly think this movie, based off of what you just said, Kevin, I think it's like all leaning on the back of Debbie Allen. If Debbie Allen wasn't like directing this.
Big time Debbie Allen vision. Yeah.
Like it just came off. It's like self-aware. Like all of her stuff is like very self-aware of how campy it is.
Yeah. Oh, going back to what you were saying earlier, too, mm-hmm. that I think is a good point is like Dolly's sort of like. She's spiritual and she stands up for something, but it's all kind of still vaguely like apolitical is also how this movie feels.
Her theology is like, I believe, and she said this in an interview, she's like, you know, I do believe the light of God is in everybody. And that's, I'm sure, like most of it. You know what I mean? Like just in terms of like her conception of it. And at the same time, like very aware and wants to take care of queer fans and her base and like all
and
parts of it. It's
yeah, but like the theology in this, and going back to what we were talking about with you earlier, Angela, is I think so special because this movie, like, it sort of talks about God, but God is not available to you. You know who is available to you? A personalized, special angel, which is so great. Isn't that nice?
If you've never seen a glammed up homeless person, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but...
a full monochrome look on this woman.
Unbelievable. From the jump. I mean, I'm skipping, but I can't recommend
from
this movie
the
enough.
Jump.
Oh my God.
Maybe we should play a little clip so people can get a taste and we can keep
talking
about it.
Oh, just...
doing a smoky eye for Dolly. At
the amount of like...
just a little smudge of dirt on like one cheek. It was like,
and then like she homeless. Like a lot of lip.
It's unbelievable.
Still full wig. She had like a long braid going down.
It's
so
corny.
Excited.
The shininess of the town square. That is a clean street.
This movie
also, they really
is
made us wait for it.
So good.
Yep.
Christmas is a time for caring, being at your best.
This is second one.
Christmas is a time for sharing, knowing you've been blessed.
She has a heavy liner. Christmas like, she usually doesn't.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, the makeup was interesting on this.
If I ever look like this, this would be the best I've ever looked in my life.
Yeah. This is her, yeah, dressing down.
I did truly think, because of the Instagram glow on her, I was like, is she there? Is she in the studio?
Every scene with her, I thought the same thing.
And I think there's scenes in which she's absolutely not. Like, I think when she appears on a cloud with Bransky, she is not there.
She's not there.
I don't think.
I think she is in the room for those, weirdly.
She's
I
in
think
the
it's all the other parts. I think she was suspended on some sort of chair that they, like, moved up and down.
With the girl from So You Think You Could Dance,
Janine.
She's there.
Yeah.
She's there.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying she's not. I'm saying there's, like, probably certain scenes where.
There are
I mean,
some, though, yeah.
Was she in a cup holder, guys? Was she really standing in that cup holder?
Yeah.
When she shrinks
movie,
down to
it's basics.
Cup size.
I do think she was on set for a total of 4 days.
Yeah. Oh no, fully. No. And that's the thing. So in the basic broad strokes, Bransky's an evil landlord, developer. They're gonna tear up and evict the whole town for the Cheetah Mall.
Cheetah Mall.
And so she's evicting everybody. And the reason she's mean is so wild how we get there. But then she has a change of heart and saves the town, blah, blah, blah. You know how it goes.
Every time you think you know why she's mean, something else gets revealed for
why
she's mean.
But here's the thing about Christine Baranski. She is incapable of being bad. She's never bad. Always good. She could not give a bad performance. And
oh, sure. I know, but she was so good in this. I felt like she was the best one. Like, she was weirdly grounded and, like, believable throughout the whole thing.
She was incredible.
Her reacting to everyone.
She's an icon. Yeah.
Yes. That's the thing. Did you guys know she hosted SNL? Like, back in the 90s. She hosted Saturday Night.
Okay, that's so funny because the whole time I was like, this woman is a powerhouse and we don't know it. And
she can
like,
do it all.
We don't talk about it. She can do it all.
She can do comedy. She does drama.
She does it all. No. And she's like a musical. Yeah. I wonder when like the Renaissance started. I guess it was. I remember first seeing her as a young 12-year-old boy in Chicago when that came out in 2002.
Wow.
And let's just say it made quite
hear about Kevin blossoming right now. I don't want to hear about you becoming a man.
I got my own little song to sing.
Caroline.
Chicago town.
But yeah.
I looked on
Baranski's got to get out of this town. Oh, Kevin, I wrote down a quote that I want to be our new Here Comes Christmas for me.
Which is?
Which is, getting fertility treatments is better than anything that can come wrapped in paper.
Okay, I can't wait to talk about that story.
There's a pastor
this couple.
And his wife, and they are having fertility issues, and they want a child. And
she runs a baby store also. Yeah,
they sell babies. Tell cruel. QAnon about them.
Oh, my God.
At one point, she does say to her husband, I know you've always dreamed of being a father and husband. And he says, no, I've always dreamed of being your husband and being a father to our children. Which, you know what? I can get behind. That's the right answer.
Oh, yeah.
You can get behind them. That's good. I mean, and then Dolly, spoiler alert, impregnates her. I lost my mind.
She's
incredible.
A little with her hand and like a little glitter comes out of her fingertips, smacks this lady in the uterus, and the lady like touches her belly like she knows, like she's pregnant.
It rules so hard.
Oh my God.
Also, you playing these clips while we're together makes me realize that this movie, when I'm not watching it alone, which I did today, is probably 10 times better.
Oh, yeah. Like a million times better. I can't even imagine. No, that's why I'm like, I'm going to do this next year.
When there's a vaccine, you two are coming over and you're watching this movie with me.
Yeah, no, I'm going to have 40 people over here and I'm going to make them watch it.
Oh, my God.
And they'll have a mixed reaction to it probably. Wait, does this happen before she brings the child back to life from the dead?
I think you already went past it.
No, I think it's here.
Oh, no, here it is. Here it is. Yes.
Here we go.
Is it?
Because they take themselves.
Yeah!
Here it comes. Go, go.
It's scary. I need to close my apartment window. People are going to think I'm getting murdered.
Unbelievable.
Oh, my God. That is so scary. I didn't like that.
So I want to talk
about...
That's
very Sleeping Beauty, you know, witch with like that green smoke that's like...
Oh, yes. I love that.
It's awesome.
Your soul.
No, it's so awesome. I want to talk about the reason Christine Baranski is mean and mad.
Yeah.
And there are people that are like, why are you so mean? And she's like, here's the reason. And it's because she wanted to dance with Treat Williams at a 70s Christmas dance, which she was only allowed to go to because it was a Christmas dance. And
yeah, I didn't get into that, by the way.
That was my favorite part, I think, of the movie. I was only allowed to go because it was a Christmas dance.
It was a Christmas dance. She wants to be a Treat Williams, and he's giving a girl a ring in the coat room. And so she dances with some random dude. And she says, and this is where the Christine Baranski voiceover was unfortunately very hot for me. And she was talking about mistakes she made. And I was like, I could be that mistake. But she talked about she made a mistake. And then she got
pregnant.
Well, I
heard a Dolly Parton you. Bam.
No, I would Dolly Parton her. Well, no,
you wouldn't. It'd be the other way around.
No, yeah. It'd be like, I'm the guy and she's Michaela Cole and this finale of I Might Destroy You.
Just, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Getting rammed by Dolly.
Just getting railed on by Christine. And so she has a son. She brings a son to term.
Yeah.
They left out the part where they forced her to bring the child to
have a baby.
Yes.
Yeah. And like hide her.
And so ever since then, she was pissed at her dad, so she was pissed at the town. So when her dad died, she's like, I hate this town. And then...
It was so crazy. Well, and also because she like spurned her very real nice boyfriend, Carl, the memory lampkeeper guy. Mm-hmm.
Because of the ring.
But then she realized it. But then it really became about the shame of him finding out that she had gotten pregnant with this other guy that very
night. You're right.
And that kept her from ever like taking up with him again.
Oh,
a lot of shame in her story, you know?
His little convenience store and his little lamps and like, there's a treasure here, actually.
That song unfortunately made me cry.
Guys, speaking of solo cups.
By the way, Val Kilmer looks good.
Yeah. This man has a full head of hair.
Yes,
he does. No forehead.
He looks good. You know what Debbie Allen gave us? She gave us age-appropriate love interest. Because Treat Williams is a cool 69. Baranski is a cool 68. They are within a year of each other.
And you know,
Caroline, I love that. You know that's what I like.
No, you hate that. You're like, no, I think 32 and 68 is a more appropriate pairing.
No.
I will say Christine Baranski is single. Because her husband passed away 6 years ago, unfortunately.
Oh, man.
And sad.
Are you guys watching A Teacher at all?
No.
No.
I do. I see where you're going, scared Angela, and I like
I just
direction.
Wanted to ask, but we'll move on.
Yeah. My goodness.
No, what yeah, if so she, Kate Mara was a teacher?
So Baranski, also, we have to establish that her dad and now her own literally the entire town. So I guess
the entire town.
All of the houses and all of the businesses. So I don't know. She's going to like flatten it to put a mall down.
But this is the confusing messaging of the movie that I think gets to the heart of like the contradictions within Dolly Parton is because the whole thing is like, yes, it's good that I'm a benevolent, nice man who owns this town. But we're going to keep the rents low and the spirits high. That's the thing that they repeat over and over again.
Yeah, exactly. And so he eventually is painted as this saint who like paved a path for Christine Baranski to like be also a good landlord rather than questioning the fact that like one person's little morality choice like determines the fate of the entire town. Like that's terrible. Like we shouldn't have to count on Christine Baranski having to come to Jesus in order for you to not like get your ass kicked out on Christmas Eve.
But it was all part of the plan because as it's revealed in a very casual way, there is a second act twist of her assistant is an angel for real. Janine Mason of Bunhead fame.
Yes.
Is an angel for real. And this is all part of the plan. Change of heart, then she'll change her mind. And this is the way it goes. Also, there's like a child bartender that then gets into a drunk driving accident. Oh, also Christy Baranski has a brain tumor. Just kidding, she doesn't.
Oh, just yeah. kidding. Just
I forgot
kidding.
The brain tumor ends up not being important.
Oh, it's just kidding. The machine was broken. The machine was broken, and I keep running over my doctor.
Also, the entire town has a meeting in the church where they discuss ways to kill Christine yeah. Baranski.
They're like, what a witch. We freaking hate her. Oh,
but
yeah.
I will say, I what a group number. As someone that was who fun. Was in lots of musicals, that group number.
It was so fun.
I think this is a good musical.
I could feel the energy. Like, I could tell, like, oh, I bet they had so much fun each in between each take. Like, the kids and the adults got along. Like, they all were so great. Oh.
Awful. She's just the case that need a witch. She's the wickedest, wickedest witch. She's the wickedest witch. The wickedest witch of the...
I believe the word you're looking for is middle.
Couldn't be bad. She couldn't be bad with a gun to her head.
She's too funny.
Let's call Christine to set. She walks on. Everyone's quiet. She's perfect.
I'm trying to be sincere, but there's really no part of this thing that I did not enjoy watching.
Oh, I'll tell you what. I did not enjoy the pastor couple. I found them really weird.
Okay, let's talk about it because I, the whole time was going, Don't find this weird.
I know.
Why are they weird to you? Like,
okay,
why?
Well, let me first say that one thing that I did like about this couple and that you don't see in a lot of Lifetime movies is for a larger woman to be with a smaller man and have it not be a thing. And she's just like his hot wife. He's hot too. That she's beautiful. It's mm-hmm. great. That was cool. Unfortunately, she is annoying. And I don't like her.
He's
character.
Annoying though too.
He is also annoying.
He says every line like he's trying to eat someone. Like he's
I thought
like,
the same
they're
thing.
Delicious.
I was like, oh, this is casting when they lead with like vocals and not like acting. Because
isn't that interesting?
She's grounded, but like he's like for some reason like eating his words when he's speaking.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like
what's
to a
going
scary
on.
Degree.
I didn't know that I would have so much trouble. Making that second dream come true for you.
Love, I didn't want to be a husband and a father. I wanted to be your husband, and I wanted to be a father to our children if we're meant to have them. And if we are not, you will be the most wonderful mother wherever
it's
those children voice. Come from.
But
it's a
reminding
little,
me of
no
someone.
Buts in our wedding.
It's like a seducer. It's
It's
very...
when a serious singer tries to act talk.
Yeah.
I guess
he's
so.
He's got a
yeah.
great voice, though. What about
Fun.
The voice?
The voice.
Okay, can
is
I
good.
Tell you one of my favorite numbers was Baranski and the child labor violation, Violet.
Oh, yeah.
I
that rule.
Loved that song. That was
that
so
scene.
Fun.
That scene was the
That
money.
Scene was the best. So Baranski goes into a bar to, like, you know, soothe her woes from selling her whole town. And this little girl named Violet is like covering for her dad or something. And I don't know. She's the bartender.
She lives
for the night.
In the bar.
And she's this world weary little girl who she is lives. Like, so she doesn't believe in fairy tales. She doesn't believe in happy endings. It's amazing. Actually, she does believe in happy endings. So this is their little song together.
With the pretzels and the drink.
She pours herself a chocolate milk. It's so funny.
Also, she reveals to
so
Christine
cute.
Baranski that she killed her mom.
Indirectly. Yeah.
There's very little bliss.
That's right.
Life is not a fairy tale. I guess it is for some, but not for us. I guess we both know life too well. We've seen and felt what it can do, and we don't care that much.
For all the skins and bruises, other pains life uses to teach us lessons we have learned too well. No, life is not a fairy tale, not a fairy tale.
I mean, if a haggio witch with a wart on her nose offers you an apple, then why would you eat it?
Or if your house is so infested with birds and mice that they can sing a production number, get an exterminator.
Get an exterminator.
I'm charmed. Blown away by Christine
Kevin, oh my God.
Get an exterminator.
Down.
Like, no, and I'm not trying to overstate it. I'm just like, again, for something that's kind of like, everyone knows it's kind of Hallmarky, but they're probably excited to work with Dolly and with Christine, honestly. It would just be so easy to be like, yeah, okay, whatever. This is like... This is my new yacht. I'm showing up. Yes, I'll dance with this little child in a bar or whatever.
Yeah.
But she's like, she's playing the moment. Like she when really she's is. Realizing things like, wait, am I a bag of dirt? Like yes. all that stuff. And I will say, it's almost like, I forget who defined it this way. There's a critic that said, like, all you need for a romantic lead in a movie or to be a movie star is it's just about the way that you look at another person. It is a person's reaction shots when they're speaking their dialogue to you. And it feels, oh, Caroline's doing something that.
You know, where you do a little.
Yeah, that's why Caroline is the movie star. Oh my God. Oh wow. Oh, she's doing something unspeakable right now. I'd rather not.
I think it's the way you change, which is also the way you react to somebody, where it's like the way you listen and the way you're like, wait.
And Angela, oh my gosh, you're taking me to another world when you do that. I heard also that when you want to like do a romantic scene, you're supposed to like stare at their mouth and then back at their eyes and then back at their mouth, and that's like instant chemistry.
There's one song where like where Christine kind of has like the encounter with Dolly the angel. She comes back that was to the so house fun. and
two powerhouses.
She has a song about lighting lamps of just like, oh yeah, my dad used to watch a lamp lighter, and here's the folk song.
I have to say,
let your light shine. Oh
it
my
got
God.
Me emotional.
It got me. It got
Listen.
Me.
Listen.
I know.
Gang.
It was that song and the bar song that made me realize, and I'd be curious to think what you guys think, that these are just like recycled Dolly Parton songs that she has in her book that she's writing. Because I'm like, you didn't write this for this moment, Dolly. You wrote this about like just life and then you put it in here.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, I could see it both ways. She's a freak. She's like a Paul McCartney freak anything. Where it's just like,
she is a freak.
Write
she's
any
a freak,
song.
Yeah.
She could just pull out like an iconic song in a moment.
But this song, legitimately incredible melody.
Confused and lost with troubled hearts, let the fire of love burn bright. Drive the shadows from the night.
The Scottish parable of the lamplighter.
Look at the cake on that dad.
Also, this dad.
She never told the story. Ooh, this dad.
He's a zad. He owns this town.
And even though he couldn't be seen in the dark, it was clear from the glow of the lamps where the lamplighter had been. Spread some light.
And the little
lamplighter
dance.
Where you go, and always.
I'm sure you guys have seen the clip of Dolly Parton doing an interview on Stephen Colbert's show, where she sings "Bury Me Beneath the Willow Tree." Have you seen this, Caroline?
No, but I have Caroline chills
Okay, well, indulge me. I think it's worth watching on the show.
You have to watch it.
Give me a breakdown.
Yeah, kind of. But it's incredible. Also, this happened the week that this is coming out. But former President Barack Hussein Obama was on Colbert for an extended interview. And Colbert asked him, why doesn't Dolly Parton have a National Medal of Freedom? And Obama just goes, yeah, that's a mistake.
That's so funny.
He's like, I messed
that
one up.
He had no like media decorum.
I'll give Biden a call. Yeah, he was like, oh,
yikes. Dolly World's going to come to him.
Oh, my God.
Actually, you know what? Instead of playing that,
mm-hmm.
if you really want me to break down, and if you really want me to talk about who I think is the breakout star of this movie, is Matthew Johnson and doing his father's prayer song over his daughter's hospital bed.
Okay, so that's what we're here to talk about.
That's
at the
what
end of the
we're
day.
Actually going to need to talk about.
Because if anyone's a talent in this freaking movie.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my.
Every time he started singing, I was like, I lost my breath.
He was hot. He was pretty hot. Wait, okay. Yeah.
No, Kevin, this is about talent.
Yeah, this isn't about sex appeal.
Talent is hot. Wait. Do I have it wrong?
But not, your wires have been crossed for a long time.
I actually agree. I am someone who is attracted to talent. But this person's talent.
But this,
talent,
at this point, I was not thinking about that. I was just thinking about how.
Me too.
Oh, baby girl.
Why is his shirt ripped like
You know why his shirt's ripped like that.
Unfortunately, you know why.
What would I do?
A Father's Prayer by Douglas Sills.
You are my light.
Right, my little move ahead. Candle glowing. Yeah, get to the runs.
I already got to the runs.
I'm from Kensington.
Oh my God.
If she dies before she wakes, I pray that as she climbs those golden stairs. This world or hereafter, let the joy, the love, the laughter linger on and on. Let me be there. This is my Father's prayer.
He's better though. He's amazing in this, but he's better in the like town so meeting good. Song.
Oh sure,
the town
yeah.
meeting song is his like breakout.
I'm sorry,
song.
I know, but I have to disagree because also look how much this man is sweating. Look how every vein on his head is popping. Like
you're
he
right,
is
you're right,
feeling
you're right.
this. This was beautiful. It was not necessary in the film, and it but it was good. Oh my God,
I do picture Debbie Allen being like, "No one talk. We're just
yeah,
gonna roll.
yeah,
we're just
like,
gonna roll.
Just give him a
just
moment.
Roll. Do it again. Do it again."
Yes.
I mean,
oh, I loved that part. I thought that was so good.
And I love how quickly I think maybe my favorite part of the movie is Christine Baranski's change of heart. She literally sings, "I'm changed now forever." Everything that was wrong is right now.
Were you guys expecting Dolly to show up above her like that?
Here,
I
listen.
Clearly oh, see girl. Now what she's shown me. That all that seemed wrong is all right. And I feel that I have no time to waste. She says I can change, that it's never too late. And maybe,
so good.
Just maybe, she's right.
Does your mother know?
I appreciated Baranski too, because a lot of the older singers, and they can't really help this, have a lot of that, like, in my town.
Oh, definitely True Williams,
guy.
Like, I yeah. have a lamp and I little... like my lampies or whatever.
Yeah, the Hugh Jackman vibrato. That's what I would call
yeah.
that.
And but that's what they're going to say. That's what they're going to say about our generation's belters.
Totally.
Because
no,
back
it's,
then,
it's
our splats, yes, if you will.
Our splats are gonna look old fashioned.
I know. It's all
ears.
We're so close to being dated.
So anyway, blah blah blah. Just to wrap up the plot stuff. Baranski gets a lamp from Treat Williams from the little lamp store. In it is a family Bible in which she finds out the name of her adopted son that she or her son that she gave away for adoption that
oh
she
God.
Never knew about.
I forgot I was going to write on the cover of one of my Bibles that I loved you guys and show it to you.
Oh, very well. There's still time,
that
Angela.
Nice.
Honey.
I can do it. I can
I'm
do it.
I'm feeling it. When I first found out, like, oh, she had a son, my first guess was the dad of the bartender daughter. And then Nathan had to remind me that, no, she did not. Her guy was not a black man that she had with. And I was like, well, I can't think of another man in this town.
And
like,
Kellen was like,
I pastor.
Know, it's like Hamilton. You could do that now.
I mean, I kind of was like, why not? You know, it's sort of Cinderella.
It
would have
been
but,
more.
Yeah.
It would have been more meaningful for him, but immediately when she was pregnant, I was like, okay, that makes sense because this pastor has been so superfluous in this plot.
Yes.
That now this makes sense.
Yes. Yeah,
he,
unfortunately,
he kinda looks
it does
like a,
make more sense.
Sometimes the pastor made like Sopranos extra faces. Like he was like doing background in a gangster movie. Like, maybe we have this baby, you know.
We're going to have a child.
Yeah, we're going to have a little baby. Oh my God. And then, yeah, yes, then she's redeemed. And then she's the pastor who's wearing a priest smock. What's that called? What's the thing with the square?
A collar.
Yeah, the collar.
I know,
but is that
yeah.
is that not reserved for priests who are celibate, or is that just any priest?
It's both.
It is both.
Because I've never seen
comfortable as I am declaring a thought.
Yeah, if we're wrong, I'll cut it out. It's fine.
Yeah, but he's not a Catholic pastor.
No, he's not.
Or priest.
But that I thought was only Catholic.
We've been doing the show for 4 years and we're both there's a caller.
It does exist. Wait, Kevin, I'm shocked that actually both of you haven't talked about Jennifer Lewis's performance in this movie also, because she really pops as well.
She takes a little swim in the river of ham on a couple of numbers with the gospel.
Her song
stomp
with
number
was a great one.
She's
too
doing a backstroke of ham.
Oh yeah, no, she competed olympically is what we're saying as far as that stuff
she was
goes.
So fun. I liked her a lot.
Yeah, Jennifer Lewis rules. Like no one in this movie is like man, I just really had such a good time watching this movie.
Me too.
It's such a dumb, basic, boring thing. But then the town is saved. It ends with Janine Mason and Dolly Parton looking over the town as little angels. And then Dolly turns to the camera and says, "You got a light? Now shine it." And I was like, I will. Dolly said,
"Okay, did you actually?" Because I actually did.
You said, "I will."
Oh my gosh.
That's just what I love about coming on to this podcast. If we're talking about me coming on a year later, it's like I never fail to just be actually honest with myself where I'm like, I did have that moment.
It's safe.
For
it's
a second. And I was like, am I someone's angel?
Oh my gosh.
If you are someone, that's a beautiful thought.
It's in the name. Can I tell you guys the cornball moment that got me and I still like is when Dolly says, "Grief is just love with nowhere to go."
Okay.
I was like, ouch.
What did you guys think of that?
That's very sweet. Let me Google it to see how many pillows on Etsy have that.
I know. I was like, is that a cliche she made up? I believe it is. I just thought it was so good and poignant and just a little corny moment.
Yeah. To me, that was like.
Well, it auto completes on Google, whatever that tells you.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that checks out.
But it is beautiful. It's still a beautiful sentiment.
You know why else? Oh, go ahead, Angela. You first.
Oh, sorry. I did say it out loud and I went, oh my God. And I thought about it. And like,
it hit me too. Like, oh,
is this
God.
A thing? Is that actually, is grief that like, is grief like just feeling mania because you don't know where to put love? But I was like, no, it's actually just loss. But I don't know.
It's loss because you love them and you don't get to tell them, you know, it just doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah, I just never thought about it that way.
I loved it that way. I thought that was a nice little
you guys are
cliche.
Making me sad. Oh, there's a lot of love with nowhere to go this year, I think.
Oh yeah, I know.
Physically.
I'm thinking about grieving a lot too this year, especially with all these people like that we don't really get to grieve, you know, and that are gone. Yeah. That hit me too.
Yeah. And I've been grieving since November the 8th, just, you know, the funny ballot results.
You get 1.5 more beautiful months, Kevin. And
are you grieving democracy?
That's right.
He's grieving his good, the real president.
Yeah.
Votes.
I was going to say the reason you all enjoyed this movie so much too is because there are no cops in this town.
Wow. Wait, did Dolly Parton say fuck the police?
She said ACAB.
I
said ACAB.
There's a mailman who dances a little bit too close to like a cop informant rat.
I thought the same.
But then I think he's just supposed to be like an airhead. And I was like, that's
a little gossip.
Yeah. And I was like, you need to put a little more respect on the mailman, our real boys in blue.
This
you know?
Was a year ago when we didn't know how much respect and support they needed.
That's true.
Did you guys have like a moment? I had a moment where I was like confused if this was like contrived or not, where the whole like woman with a baby cast aside was like meant to be biblical.
Oh, that's
yeah.
Like,
oh no, it's
point.
Totally yeah. They were trying to draw that parallel, I think, in the last church scene.
Okay, no, I knew that parallel was being drawn, but I was like, is that why this whole story about Christine having a baby and like this whole thing?
It's so convoluted. It's so interesting. Where it's
it's kind of, but like also the nativity story isn't like, oh, Mary didn't have a place to go because she was ashamed she was pregnant or whatever. It was more of like a poverty thing, honestly. But Christine,
exactly.
Poverty is not the issue. It's more of like social mores. But that's the other thing that I found really frustrating about the story, if like I tried to think about it for a second, which I wouldn't advise, is like this dad did kind of an evil thing to her as well. And like if he was literally the man that owned the town and was so rich, like, he could have protected her or, like, made this easier or cared for this kid yeah. and, like, made it socially acceptable in the town or whatever. And instead, he, like, just ripped it from her and then, like, denied her ever even knowing who her child was. And, like, I don't think that's a good man.
So we are saying that Christmas on the Square is about inherited trauma. And it sure you can. Should walk into the movie with that mindset.
Incredible.
And a little dance in your shoes.
And a little tippity tap in the toes.
Oh, also, yes. Speaking of dance, like, can you think of a movie musical besides Cats recently that had, like, huge dance numbers?
No. It was so good in that way.
It was very refreshing. The sincerity of this movie was very refreshing and sweet to me.
We had so many leaps. Leaps.
A lot of leaps. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And a lot of those, like, spinning with your legs around. You know, whoa. Wow. How did they do that?
I think it's time, guys, to give our little ratings. It's our roast or toast time. You know this the way this works, Angela? We're going to give it a thumbs up. Thumbs down. Holy toast. We're giving a thumbs up and send it to heaven where Dolly's going to sing to this movie forever. Heaven bound. Or holy roast. We send it down to where Christine Baranski's dad is for what he did to her. Or if we're not sure, we can put it in purgatory. The space between. And we'll start as usual with Caroline.
Okay, I'm going to give it a toast. I do think it drags a little bit. Maybe for a while it was a little long.
You drag a little bit. Sorry, I'm being defensive.
Well, Kevin, chill. And you know, not every character is a winner, but there are so many good songs. To me, I'm like, you should watch this if you are looking for a Lifetime movie that actually has some song and dance in it. You know, like that has some talent. And I feel like it's a fun one to watch because you feel like all of these people that were brought on the cast are just like personal friends of Debbie Allen or Dolly Parton, you know? And so it's like a weird cast, but they all seem to like really vibe with each other.
Yeah.
And so it's fun for that reason.
That's an excellent point where it's like it is Hallmark budget, but then it's literally two of the most iconic people. You know, I mean, Dolly's beyond that, but like, yeah, the casting and the choreography of it is just unreal. Angela, we turn it to you.
Yeah, I on that note, it's like if you're going to watch a Lifetime Christmas movie, why not like pedal to the metal? Like, let's do it full force. Let's do it a musical. Let's do it Debbie Allen. Yes. Let's do it goddess Dolly Parton. So I'm going to toast it because I'm like, this is at the highest of camp. There's like something about like, I watch a lot of like Christmas Lifetime movies with my grandma that are like in the middle mm-hmm. where it's like cringy, but this knows what it's doing. There's nothing in denial about it. We know that like there are angels in this world and that they fly above and there are grand landlords that own everything.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you question about it because it's so camp. And for that, I toast it.
Good. A toast from Angela. I'm giving this all in toast. I'm sorry. I don't mean to say that salaciously.
All in toast.
I am all in this toast.
You loved this.
I loved this. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, is this one of my favorite movies that came out in 2020? I have no perspective. Maybe I've been alone a little too long. Maybe. I don't know.
Because it's good. I don't think it's like iconic. I just had good. Yeah.
I kept imagining watching it with certain individuals and groups in my life and having a blasty blast and making hot toddies like Angela.
Totally.
Did.
Yes.
And
yes.
It is.
I also. Sorry.
No, you go ahead.
This is your take, but I'll just say I wish I put myself on tape for this, and I'm going to send you guys my self tape for this.
No, please do. It's not too late.
It's a shame you weren't in this.
For the rest of my toast time, I'm going to yield to Dolly herself, and this is her on Stephen Colbert. And watch the video yourself.
Look at her.
But this is just her reducing, you know, a grown man to weeping.
The altar, whatever. So she died, of course. She killed herself, I suppose. So there was, it says, bury me beneath the willow, under the weeping willow tree, where he may know where I am sleeping, and perhaps he'll weep for me. So anyway, there's more to it, but anyway, it was about her
fingers.
Thinking he, you know, today was our wedding day, but where, oh, where can he be? He's gone to seek him another bride. He cares no more for me. And then he goes, are you crying? Oh, bury me beneath the willow, under the weeping willow tree, where he may know where I am sleeping, and perhaps he'll weep for me. So I better hush before you cry yourself to death and we can't finish the show.
Like a lot of Americans, I'm under a lot of stress right now.
And, I know you're not really.
You got
crying,
under my tripwire right there. I'll tell you right there. That was pretty beautiful.
Oh, my God. We used to cry.
I know you're not really crying.
You're like, shut up.
Depression, yeah. Oh, my God. She's just so. What is it about her that, like, you know it's corny? You know it's not like, wow, this is a book I read that really, like, changed my perspective on life. But it's like, it still hits ya.
It's also something so crazy about this movie was, like, hearing her lyrics in other people's voices. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, like, watching that clip, like, I didn't really, like, okay, that clip made me, like very emotional as well. I didn't cry, but, like, there's something about her voice speaking like very beautiful symbolism, like mm-hmm. wisdom things mm-hmm. that like just like go straight to the gut versus like when like, I don't know, when Joe the Schmo is singing her songs, mm-hmm. it like didn't really hit me as hard. I think it's her voice. I just think
it's
her voice.
And it's also like what you know about her, which is that she is actually a humanitarian person and like has actually walked the walk of all this stuff that she sings about. Like she believes it. She's not pandering corny stuff to you because she knows you'll eat it up. You know, like she actually believes all that stuff, and that's cool.
We recommend that you watch Christmas on the Square and then give it a roast or toast yourself. Get out there. Go to Christian Fun Pod. Vote and
Pokemon, go to the polls.
We did it. We did it, Joan.
Very grateful for that. Man, the prayer memes are good. Oops. The prayer memes are good of people saying grace and saying,
I'm doing the we did it, Joe.
We did it, Caroline. We did it, Angela. And now we're bringing it down to a more worshipful space. We're dimming the lights. We're lighting the candles. We're not here to promote ourselves or our own projects. We're here to lift them up to the Lord. And we start, as per usual, with Caroline.
You can lift me up at Caroline's Farts. And this week's thing that I'm recommending to you, one is a podcast called Poog by Kate Berlant and Jacqueline Novak, where they talk about like mostly the products they buy in the wellness world and how they know it's bullshit, but they still like believe, you know, and just hearing them talk is just wonderful. I enjoy them a lot. Mm-hmm. And then for my Christmas movie recommendation, I talked about it earlier. You should watch Klaus on Netflix. It is so good. The animation is beautiful. The story is so well done. And it like will really get to your heart. It's a really charming, beautiful story about like unity. It's just great. I love it.
And if you're in a gun to your head situation where you have to choose between watching Klaus or Christmas on the Square, well, I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, Klaus every time. Klaus every time.
Well, we'll let the listeners decide that for themselves.
Okay, I'll let them have their own minds.
All right. Thank you, Caroline. We turn it to Angela.
Oh, I'm here. Also, I'm just remembering a year ago when you guys told me to do this, I had nothing to say, and that was so sad.
Oh,
Okay, things that are lifting me up, I'll say, oh my God, my friend, my family friend, Madeline Mills, is the lead of Jingle Jangle. And another Christmas movie that I adore.
I'll watch that.
Yes, wow. She's incredible. Grew up in the church as well. It's an amazing movie. I had a blast. Another Christmas movie that I had a blast that I would say would lift you up. Besides that, I just started The Undoing, and that's not an indie thing.
Oh
I need
my
to
God!
Promote.
Yeah.
But if anybody wants to talk about it. I would love to talk about it. I just started it. Wow. I'm so
It's
late
required
to the party.
Watching, I think, in the pandemic.
I'm so late to the party and I can't believe it. It's crazy.
You're not
crazy.
Late. You're like a week late. You're good.
Which is late.
eons in internet time. I know. Yeah. Angela, where can people find you online, though?
Oh, they can find me. I only have an Instagram. I don't have a Twitter. I should get on Twitter.
Don't get on Twitter.
I'm just trying to slow it down. I am at Giovanna Giratana on Twitter. That's my middle name because someone took Angela Giratana.
On Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because someone took my name and it's up there. Yeah. That sucks. You can find me on Instagram now. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Angela. You can find me at Kevin T. Porter everywhere. And I'll recommend, you know, I saw that Mike Mills movie, Beginners. I thought that was so charming and lovely. What a nice time. From the director-writer of 20th Century Women comes Ewan McGregor being a sweet, sad boy.
I've seen this.
With one of the most... and Christopher Plummer being a sweet, old gay man. And a dog being an awesome dog. Great dog movie.
Good.
Yeah. Or, you know what? the folklore movie kind of cracked me up. That was
fun.
Oh,
really? I haven't watched it. Is it good?
Yeah, I like it.
I haven't watched it either.
I like it.
How does it compare to Miss Americana?
I think it's more revealing because it's performance, which is harder to curate. Mm. And
I love Miss Americana, though.
I know.
Miss Americana is hilarious. It is such a document of a certain thing, but so much of folklore is just like, so in this song I was trying to do this, and it's just her, Aaron Dessner, and Antonoff in the studio, and it's just like, it's kind of a Queen's Gambit where it's like these two sweet dudes being like, yeah, we're here to support you no matter what. And especially Dessner seems
sounds like a fun thing to do with like a friend.
Yeah
You're not alone.
Good friend time. Good
Wait, Angela, have you watched the Lady Gaga documentary?
I've watched it three times.
Oh, okay, great. I was like, if you loved Miss Americana, I can't recommend it enough.
My favorite movies are all documentaries that are either concerts or about singer-songwriters writing something.
Oh,
for some reason, I get off on them. I'm obsessed with them.
Amazing.
I will watch them, all of them. Even This Is It. I'm sorry. That's so wrong to say, but I like that documentary.
This Is It stars also the star of a movie called Leaving Neverland, Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I bet that was interesting at the very least.
This is one of our longest episodes we've ever had. Is that incredible? I love
it. It's a Dolly effect.
Dolly needs this time.
Much like Christmas on the Square, a little too long.
Cut out a couple songs.
Sure.
Get out a couple.
You can lift us up everywhere at Christian Fun Pod on social media. You go to patreon.com/goodchristianfun for more good Christian fun every week. We're dropping a second service. We're putting out Christmas carols that we write in 30 minutes. We're putting out lists of how to politely decline sex. There's a lot of great stuff happening.
There is some good stuff. The song that we wrote, by the way, that you'll only hear if you're on second service, is pretty excellent in my
opinion. Catchy. It's catchy in that I still remember it.
Kevin was singing it all day long.
Okay. And then you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Every review you leave, we donate $1 to charity. And this month's charity is the Okra Project. Angela, thank you so much for joining us, friend.
Thank you, Angela.
Thank you for having me.
Nice to see you again.
I had so much more of a blast this time because last time, for some reason, I was nervous.
We're friends now. Good.
Okay.
We're just Chill Bill, Volume 1 and 2.
And let me just say, that last episode, it was so good. I don't think you should have any qualms about it.
Yes.
It was fantastic and funny and great.
Was that Super Chick or Barlow Girl that we did?
Oh, my God. No, we talk about Barlow Girl, but it was actually Zoe Girl.
It was Zoe Girl. Oh, excuse me.
But the reason why I was nervous because you guys are also awesome, and I wanted to be your friends, but mostly because it was, like, very intimate and spiritual. It was the first time we're talking about that stuff. Yeah.
You did great. You did really good.
And you did great today.
Somehow even better here.
Our little angel. Our little angel, Angela. There's nothing left to say except for, and all of Pod's people said,
amen. This is my halo.
Freaking men. Let's go out maybe with something.
Dolly Parton, full wings out above the altar.
Yeah, truly.
Literally eagle wings.
Okay, that was a moment where I was like, Dolly does have a little bit of an ego, doesn't she?
Yeah, that was a lot.
Yeah, I was like, whoa. I kind of
like Okay, so this is a version of All I Want for Christmas Is You as a duet between Dolly Parton and Jimmy Fallon.
I love you, Dolly. Always have, always will.
Aw, that's so sweet.
Now,
that was not respectful enough.
What was it you were going to say that was so mushy and romantic and all? Also,
what am I going to get you for Christmas?
Do you think to get him into the studio, they lined it with like a bunch of little like airplane bottles of whiskey into the recording?
I have always wanted to sing a duet with you, so you can go first.
All right, we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
I can't believe this is happening right now.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need.
What's that?
I don't care.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.